We are periodically reminded that democracy is a messy process and one that takes consistent energy and commitment. We heard it after the U.S. invasion of Iraq wasn't followed by a rapid acceptance of democracy, and it's been a significant part of the narrative following last November's presidential election. To that end, Santa Clara University's Markulis Center for Applied Ethics has partnered with The Atlantic magazine to explore through a series of essays how technology is impacting democracy. The series is part of the Democracy Project, and with me to talk about it is Irina Raiku of Santa Clara's Ethics Center. Irina, can technology both help and hinder democracy in the greater sense?
Yes. I think what we find is that we just need to be much more conscious about this. That a word that Silicon Valley loves, although it's getting a bit dated or aged at this point, is disruption, right? And what we found is that if technology is disrupting democracy, that's not necessarily a good thing, especially if it's doing so accidentally and not in a way that's intended to make it more effective or efficient or, you know, all the things that Silicon Valley kind of disruption wants to do. So it turns out that, yes, it is disrupting democracy, and we need to be careful, and we need to figure out what areas should be or shouldn't be disruptive and how do we do it so that, in fact, it's making democracy more inclusive, more aware. And this is a huge undertaking. Nobody's saying that we're going to find, you know, the app that's going to suddenly, you know, open voting for everybody. And the first step is really identifying the problems and the challenges. And by the way, not all of what we're talking about is related to the internet or social media.
Irina, do enough people have the time, the inclination to think about some of these bigger picture items?
I think there are certain subjects that kind of rise to the level where everybody's talking about it. For example, I don't think anybody hasn't heard the term fake news, right? Mm-hmm. We've all heard it. We've all talked about it. It turns out it doesn't quite mean what we thought it meant, or it's a much more nuanced problem. That doesn't mean that we don't all need to be aware of it if we're going to be, you know, active participants in a democracy. If we're going to vote in elections, we need to understand some of these things. So I take your point. I think we're all busy. We're living our lives. We have our jobs. We have our, you know, we have kids and cars and all the other things we have to take care of. But this is really important, too. And if this level of, you know, analysis is not for everybody, I would say definitely policymakers should be reading all of these. Definitely technologists should be reading all of these, because a lot of them have been unaware of their own impact, of the impact of the tools that they're designing on, you know, the world that all the rest of us get to live in. There are sort of different groups that need to be more aware at a more sort of in-depth level, but all of us need to be aware of the impact of technology on democracy. And some of the solutions proposed in the articles, I think that's one thing I love about this project, is that really we're getting contributors with very different perspectives. So one of the articles talked about the fact that, yes, we need better technology, but that the kind of technology she was talking about was the kind of workhorse technology that's used, for example, in the classroom, that we need a more educated, you know, body of people in order to be effective as a democracy. And therefore, we need to make sure that we have some really basic tech working in all schools, you know, at a time where, again, in Silicon Valley, some technologies technologists are talking about the potential for personalized learning and these very sort of sophisticated algorithms and how we can improve learning so that each individual grows in his or her own way. There are a lot of people out there who don't have access to the most basic things.
Do the challenges to our traditional institutions, do they seem more daunting now because they really are more daunting, or just because we're all so much more aware of what's going on now than perhaps people were decades ago?
I think it was probably always daunting to manage and run and participate in a real democratic society, and that our hopes are never quite met by the reality. But I think there are opportunities here, too. I agree that there, a lot of this stuff seems daunting. But think about the fact that people can now express themselves in a way in which they couldn't before, both to their government, to other people around the world. There are new tools that can be really effective and really create a more democratic kind of engagement. And for a while, in fact, we were, well, at least the idealists were kind of hung up on that, right? The internet was going to be the great democratizing technology. It was going to shake up the world. And it turns out that it can be used to undermine democracy as well. So I don't think it's time to sort of give up on the hope for democracy. And the contributors to this series don't suggest that as well.
Irina Reich, who is with Santa Clara University's Markulis Center for Applied Ethics. The center has partnered with The Atlantic Magazine as part of the Democracy Project.